This talk is brought to you by iBiology.org, and this audio was taken from a video available on our website.
Think about the last time you had a cold. How exactly did you know that you were sick? You had signs and symptoms like congestion, a sore throat, maybe a cough or a fever. And what this told you was attack our own normal, healthy bodies. So it's very hard to do this kind of research on people. So instead, I turned to a mouse model. Now, mice don't get that classic malar rash, and even if they did, it would probably be pretty hard to see with all that fur. But what we can do instead is perform a simple blood test to see if the mouse has a disease that looks like human lupus. And so in this mouse that I started studying, we looked at its blood and found that there were antibodies present that can cause harm to our own tissues. So that meant that this mouse had lupus, or a disease that looked like lupus. And then when I looked at the T cells in these mice, they actually looked activated. They looked like they were responding to some sort of infection, but the mouse was not sick at all. It didn't have any virus or bacteria around. And so to try to figure out what was going on in the T cells of this mouse that was causing disease, I looked at the mouse's DNA and wanted to know whether there were any genetic changes, any mutations that could be contributing to the disease. And so by sequencing the DNA, I found that there was a single base pair change in this gene called RAS-GRP1. And so I wanted to start investigating how altering this molecule, RAS-GRP1, could lead to these disease features that we see in the mouse. So what does RAS-GRP1 actually do? Well, the gene encodes a protein that's really important for turning signaling pathways on inside of cells. So if we have our T cell here, and let's say it's that flu-specific T cell from before. If this T cell sees a bit of the flu, it knows it needs to become activated. So what is going on with RAS-GRP1? Well, RAS-GRP1 activates a couple of downstream signaling pathways, one of which is called RAS, and the other is called mTOR. And for reasons that I'll explain to you later, I became very interested in this mTOR pathway. Now, mTOR is a kinase, so it phosphorylates downstream proteins to turn on signaling. And mTOR signaling is very important for a number of different processes in T cells, including their activation. But let's take a step back. This example here is showing you what happens when that flu-specific T cell sees and interacts with the flu virus and becomes activated that way. But most of the time, as you know, thankfully, we don't have the flu. We're not always sick. And so I was really interested in whether this signaling pathway from RAS-GRP1 to mTOR was also present in cells from just a normal and healthy mouse. And so to address this, I took T cells out of normal and healthy mice, and I measured the level of signaling through RAS-GRP1. So to address this question, I took advantage of the fact that there's a drug that can block or inhibit the activity of mTOR. And this drug is called rapamycin. And actually, the word mTOR itself stands for mechanistic or mammalian target of rapamycin. And so what I did is I took this drug and I administered it to the mice that had lupus and this RAS-GRP1 mutation, as well as to normal, healthy, wild-type mice. And then I measured the level of the T cell activation that I observed in these animals as sort of a readout of whether they had disease or not. So if I just looked at the mutant mice without giving them any drug, as I told you before, there was this high level of T cell activation. The mice kind of looked like they were responding to an infection, even though one wasn't there. but if I treated the mice with this drug to turn down the mTOR signaling, I saw a reduction in the amount of activated T cells in this mouse to about the levels of what you see in a healthy, normal animal. And so this really showed that the lupus-like disease in these RAS-GRP1 mutant mice was caused by that increase in mTOR signaling that I observed. Now, another feature of autoimmune disease can be the accumulation of sort of specialized T cells. And what do I mean by this? If we think back to that security guard, she's kind of generally walking around the building looking to see what's wrong. But if she saw that there was a fire, she would want to specifically bring in the fire department and not just the police force. And so you can think of these specialized T cells as those firemen that would come in. And so if you look in a normal and healthy mouse, you have a few of these specialized T cells. But when I looked in the mouse with the RAS-GRP1 mutation, I found that there were actually a lot of these specialized T cells, which is depicted in this graph here. And if I administered that drug, rapamycin, to turn down the mTOR signaling, I found that this population of specialized T cells decreased. So it showed again that these specialized T cells were accumulating in a manner that was dependent on having some mTOR signaling in the cells. And so now I've shown you that there's this signaling pathway from RAS-GRP1 to mTOR that seems to be increased when you get this single nucleotide change in RAS-GRP1. And this leads to a lupus-like disease in the mice. Now, I told you that mTOR signaling controls T cell activation and that I saw that the T cells in these RAS-GRP1 mutant mice looked like they were activated. And I also saw an accumulation of these specialized T cells that may be due to increased proliferation, which is also a process driven by mTOR. But I wanted to know from here what might be going on inside the cell at the molecular level that could be causing the T cells to become activated. So not just the signaling, but what was sort of connecting the signaling to the activation. And so from here, I started to look at this process of translation, so going from mRNA into protein, because this is a process that's known to be very tightly controlled and regulated by mTOR signaling. So again, translation is this process of going from mRNA into protein. And to see whether translation might be altered in my RAS-GRP1 mutant mice, I started by looking at one single gene called GATA3 as a proof of concept. Now, GATA3 is known to be very important for the regulation and development of these specialized kind of firefighter T cells, and so that's why I chose to look at it first. So to see if GATA3 was regulated at the level of translation, I looked at its levels of mRNA in just a normal, healthy wild-type mouse compared to the RAS-GRP1 mutant, and I didn't really see any changes. It looked like they had about the same level of mRNA. But when I measured the protein levels of GATA3, I found that the mutant T cells had about twice as much protein, so it seemed like there was something happening between this step of mRNA to protein to cause that to accumulate, and so I thought this might be due to an increase in translation in the mutant T cells. Now, this data was really exciting, and it made me want to look at more and more genes. But instead of just picking ones that made sense to me, I wanted to take a more unbiased approach and instead look at all of the genes in the genome. And so to do this, I used a really cool new technology. The first step was to just isolate all of the mRNA from T cells to get a representation of which genes were expressed and at what levels. And this is called RNA sequencing. But to look specifically at the mRNAs that are being translated, what I did was a technique called ribosome profiling. So I took the ribosomes out of cells and isolated the mRNAs that are bound to those ribosomes, so only those mRNAs that are actively being translated in the cells. And then I sequenced that RNA as well. And by comparing the level of expression in the ribosome data set to the mRNA, I could get a sense of which genes were being regulated at the level of translation. And I was really excited to see that there were around 600 genes that seemed to have increased translation in the mutant T cells compared to the normal wild-type ones. And this is a really ongoing, active area of research in my lab now to try to figure out what these genes are doing in the T cells and how they may be contributing to the disease. And so this is an exciting, open question that we're hoping to answer later on. So by studying this RAS-GRP1 mutant mouse, I was able to learn a lot of different things about T cell biology and how it relates to disease. I showed you that T cells have this sort of range of mTOR activity, and that normal healthy T cells have a little bit of mTOR signaling that helps them perform this patrolling function. It helps them stay alert and ready to respond. But if you have a mutation in this gene RAS-GRP1, and it increases the level of mTOR signaling a little bit, this can cause that T cell to increase its mTOR activity, and then that T cell can become more activated, can start to become more specialized, and can contribute to the lupus-like disease that we see in the mice. And we think that this is due to mTOR's regulation of translation in cells. And so this is what sort of causing the T cells in this model to sound that false alarm. They have this little bit of elevated mTOR activity, and they're, instead of knowing that everything is fine, they are contributing to disease. And so this research, I think, leads to a lot of really interesting questions and future directions. So is this phenomenon of increasing the level of mTOR activity in a T cell only applicable to this model of lupus? Or is it true for other types of autoimmune diseases as well? Is this sort of a universal or a unique phenomenon? Additionally, I looked at the mTOR pathway in these T cells from this lupus mice and saw differences, but perhaps other signaling pathways are also altered in normal T cells in the context of autoimmune disease. And perhaps these other pathways also sort of tune the reactivity of those cells. And in general, I think this research shows that performing basic research to understand signaling pathways and general T cell biology is a way to get a deeper understanding of autoimmune diseases like lupus. And hopefully one day will contribute to our ability to design better, more rational therapies to help patients.
Visit us at iBiology.org for more free talks from the world's top scientists. This talk was brought to you with support from the National Science Foundation, the National Institute of General Medical Sciences, and the Lasker Foundation.